Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Bertouri Law in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Les, will you please give us the rundown?
We have Willie Walker, CEO of Walker & Dunlop. Michael Biddick, CEO of Fusion PPT. Ted Davies, President and CEO of Altamira Technologies. And David LaRoe, CEO of Medicom Systems.
All right, I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Les Small and Vistage, David Kunzman, Bertouri Law, Haley Morris Cressa, Jim Wampus, Magneto Carp and Michael Del Pierre Conversion Pipeline. Let's get to know our first guest, Willie Walker, CEO of Walker & Dunlop. Willie, what is Walker & Dunlop? What are you guys doing?
We finance commercial real estate.
And how large or how small is this organization?
It's a publicly traded company, market cap of about $1.7 billion, 620 people in 29 offices across the United States.
Wow, this is a large organization. And how old is this organization?
Walker & Dunlop was founded in 1936. By my grandfather.
Uh-huh. And when you got involved with the organization, how large or small was it?
When I joined the company in 2003, it was one office and 46 employees.
Wait. You joined the company about 14 years ago, and what size was it?
One office and 46 employees.
And what size is it now?
29 offices, 620 employees, and publicly traded.
But you've really grown this business. Wow. Where were you from originally?
Washington, D.C.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother.
And how'd your older brother, what kind of effect did he have on you in terms of growing this business?
I would say that I grew up as a reasonably competitive younger brother, always trying to, one-up my older brother.
Uh-huh.
That probably wasn't the greatest thing for my older brother to live with, but for me, it sort of set up a competitive instinct in me that it stayed with me.
What kind of sports did you play when you were a kid, 8 to 14?
I played football, hockey, and lacrosse.
What was the common thread you had on those teams? What kind of roles did you have on those teams?
I was quarterback of the football team, center of the hockey team, and attackman on the lacrosse team. I was captain of all my teams.
Mm-hmm. So your nature is to pull people around ideas and like make things happen. And can you give us a sense of the litany of careers that you've had?
When I got out of college, I went to Latin America and spent a number of years in the nonprofit world, and then came back and went to business school, and then went into investment banking, then went into venture capital, then I started an airline in Argentina, then went into the private equity world doing buyouts in Latin America, and then I went into the call center industry and ran the Latin American operations of a company and then the European operations of the company before coming back to Walker & Dunlop.
Wait, you mean you've had
a variety of different transitions here. What's the common thread of all that stuff? How's all that stuff lend itself to your building this business from one office to 19 offices and to $1.7 billion in revenue?
When I went to Latin America as a 22-year-old, I was, just because I was an American who was well-educated, I was given the opportunity to lead organizations at a very young age. And so I think I quickly realized that I had a sort of, if you will, a leadership capability that almost regardless of what industry I was in, that was sort of what I needed to work
gotcha.
On, if you will.
I understand that your grandfather started the original business. What effect did your grandmother have on you?
So my grandmother on my mother's side was someone who always, she had her own business here in Washington. She had a dress shop, and we would go visit her there. But she always had an incredible sense of detail, and she always wanted us to be ready to go, kind of properly dressed. And so that whole kind of external image piece of kind of being prepared for the test, being prepared to go out, was something that was sort of ingrained in us very early by my grandmother.
And you really think that that had an effect when you're growing a business to $1.7 billion and publicly traded?
I think preparation on a daily basis. I think also external images matter a lot. So as it relates to marketing, as it relates to creating something that you're really good at, differentiating yourself, that has clearly played as far as the success we've had at Walker Noah.
Mm-hmm. David?
You started an airline in a foreign country. It's obviously there's a lot of regulation, a lot of customs to deal with culturally. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was an incredibly exciting experience, but it was also wildly challenging. When you're a foreigner in a foreign country with a foreign language, you need to establish your credibility, and that's difficult to do when you come from a completely different place on the planet. I would also put forth that the regulatory landscape in Argentina at that time was extremely complex, and so the getting an airline up and going had a lot of challenges to it.
Michael? You know,
quarterbacking a football team, that's a lot of challenges too. And so did that help parlay you for the leadership skills to deal with these things?
I say the more important piece to it is not whether I was a decent quarterback on a football team. I think the bigger issue with it is being able to deal with adversity and also being able to pick good people and trust those people you have around you. Because when you are somewhere as far away as Argentina and you are relying on those people around you, you've got to be a very good judge of character.
Michael?
So the European and Latin American influence has helped you grow the business?
Yeah, it has. I think the most important thing is we have a mission at Walker & Dunlop to be the premier commercial real estate finance company in the United States. And it is definitive there on in the United States because there's such a huge opportunity here. And when I was building businesses in Latin America and Europe, I saw how difficult it is to build abroad and how much time and resources it requires to be successful.
Jen?
What did your parents do when you grew up? And are you more like your mom or your dad?
My father was running Walker & Dunlop when I grew up throughout his entire career, and my mother was the White House photographer for Time magazine, and I would say I'm really kind of a mix of the two of them.
Can you elaborate?
My dad is very driven and taught me a lot about business at an early age and sort of the desire to succeed. My mother is very social and has a wonderful way with people, and so I think I learned a lot of my social skills from my mom.
Haley?
Just listening to you talk and hearing about your career experience and all the things you accomplished in such a short amount of time, it's like unbelievable. That sense of urgency, does it correlate with pressure that you had growing up? And how did you?
Interestingly, my parents didn't put a lot of pressure on me to succeed, but I would say that my peers did. And when I was an average student at St. Albans, my parents thought that I ought to go to another day school, and I didn't want to go. And so I think that I, from having been taken out of St. Albans at a young age, had sort of a chip on my shoulder to say that I need to be able to prove that I was good enough to be there in the first place, and have been living my life sort of ever since trying to make up for that.
Liz?
You grew up in a family, it seems, or it sounds like, you know, very visible between your grandmother, your father, and your mom. That has to put a lot of pressure on someone. How did you deal with the pressure as a young kid?
I didn't feel the pressure. I think the biggest issue was when I joined the family company, I didn't want people to sit there and be like, oh, you couldn't do anything else, so you joined the family company.
Yeah.
And so when I joined Walker & Dunlop, I had a very clear mission to make it something dramatically bigger and stronger than what it was when I got there. And fortunately, we've been able to accomplish that.
What did you learn about yourself in the process of doing that?
Oh, that the competitive drive is good to a degree, but you can sometimes overstep on that. And to really be open and honest about your humanity, I think there was sort of a Teflon shield around me of wanting to be kind of perfect. And as my colleagues at Walker & Dunlop know, my wife and I separated 2 years ago, and that whole process was a very, very difficult and trying process. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, in that process, I learned a lot about myself, and we put our relationship back together, and quite honestly, obviously everything couldn't be better. But I think that that process of losing something so important to me and then having to focus on what it was that made it fall apart was one of the great
Why don't I just see a smile in your face as you were talking about that?
Oh, because it's quite honestly the greatest accomplishment of my life is having gotten to the point where I thought we were done and then been able to really focus on what it was inside of me that got us to there in our relationship and be able to pull it back together.
Wow. That took a lot of guts and courage. Jen, what was your question?
Do you think that your dad's proud of where you've taken the company and how you've grown it?
Yeah, he's wildly proud. It's become a really, it's not only been a financially very rewarding for him to watch us grow it, but I think he's been astounded at how big it's become. At the same time, he had a great company when I took it over. And so there was a period of time there where as we were trying to grow it and move into new ways, there was, a little bit of second guessing about whether I was doing the right things. I think now that it's so much of a bigger company and has been so successful, he's just extremely pleased.
So what'd you learn about yourself in the midst of almost getting divorced and pulling it back together?
I learned that my expectations for myself and the people around me were a little out of line, and that what drives anger is missed expectations. And so I had an anger issue as it relates to my family and my wife missing my expectations on what I wanted it to be. And so in coming to grips with those outsized expectations and understanding that many of the things that I thought should happen in this world weren't ever going to happen in this world, I got a real good dose of what was sort of inside of me.
Wow,
wrong.
That's pretty profound.
And it, quite honestly, it's changed me both as a spouse, as a father, and also as a leader of my company.
What's the website address for Walker & Dunlop?
WalkerDunlop.com.
How do you spell that?
WalkerDunlop.com.
Well, you're speaking with Willie Walker, CEO of Walker & Dunlop, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Oh, man. Nice interview.
Nice.
Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow. Assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill reasonable pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Loser Radio. Let's get to know Michael Biddick, CEO of Fusion PPT. Michael, what is Fusion PPT?
So we're a technology services company. We're solving some really challenges, big challenges for federal agencies.
And how large or how small is this company?
We're just 50 people.
And how'd you get a job with the company?
I started the firm in 2009.
Where are you from originally?
A small village in Wisconsin.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
None.
What makes an only child special?
I think you have to be really content sometimes with being alone and entertaining yourself, solving your own problems.
And tell us what was going on about the age of eight with you. What kind of entrepreneurial endeavor were you involved with?
So when I was 7 or 8, I started a movie theater in our basement, and we didn't have a projector. So I went around the neighborhood, sold tickets, and then got everybody in the basement and basically had them listen to a record, and I paged through a book and retold Empire Strikes Back in our basement.
And at the age of 9, what was the next step in your entrepreneurial career?
Then I opened up a little woodworking business where I would cut out these little shapes of animals and houses with a jigsaw, and I carted those around the wagon and tried to sell those to neighbors.
And what kind of club were you involved with in school?
So in high school, I got involved with the debate and speech program.
What's that tell us about you?
So I thought it was a great way to learn about public speaking, argumentation, convincing people, sometimes arguing both sides of a topic.
Mm-hmm. David?
As an only child, were you pulled in either direction by one of your parents who wanted you to take a particular career path or act a certain way, do sports or things like that?
It's not really. I was never good at sports. I was always picked last in gym class, so you kind of had to learn how to deal with rejection. Didn't really enjoy sports either, so it wasn't a problem. But my parents actually just kind of let me develop, and they didn't really put any pressure on me to choose a certain profession, career, or school. So I think that really instilled a lot of confidence in myself to just come up with the right decisions.
And you could, so then you were empowered to explore things that interested you and just kind of run with it.
Right. Anything that was kind of interesting, I could explore it, learn more about it, and until I would get bored with it, and then maybe move on to something else.
Michael?
Starting endeavors at such a young age, what did it feel like to start making money?
It was really great. I mean, I think the money part was great, but also seeing the reaction of people, sometimes positive, sometimes negative from what you were doing, I think was a really good experience to have at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
It seems like you have the ability to see opportunities. How do you use that now?
Sure. So I think in the market, I mean, it's always very fluid. So, the ability to see where there's opportunities, things to focus on, things to stay away from, I think is really important in the business world, because sometimes you may have a passion around something and there may not be opportunities in that area. So, I've been fortunate to have lots of different interests, but I can see where it'd be frustrating for someone that really wanted to, work in an area and there just weren't opportunities in that area for them.
Really?
Sounds like you've engaged in these opportunities at a young age with a lot of confidence because you didn't have anyone helping you and it's all different array of interests that you've had. Where did you get the confidence to do all that, and was it internal or external, and how does it translate to what you're doing today?
Sure. So I think a lot of it was just, you know, self-drive and motivation. I think the, you know, trial and error, I think, is really important. So not being afraid to fail at something, I think, is a really important trait.
Did how your parents raised you and how they let you
experiment,
explore new things, mm-hmm. did that affect
your confidence? I think so. I mean, the fact that there was never any, you know, negative repercussions if something didn't go well or failed at it, I mean, I think that just got me very comfortable with failing and comfortable with experimenting and trying new things and knowing that everything didn't have to be perfect, everything didn't have to be a success. You know, life moves on and you can kind of keep going.
Liz?
Yeah, did you have a mentor growing up that had a big influence on you?
A couple. I mean, one, I had an opportunity to work with someone who was retired Navy, and he really taught me about service and, you know, doing things for other people and even going beyond kind of what the defined role that you would have within a job just to kind of make things work. And he was a big part of my early kind of career development.
What do you think he saw in you that kind of made him want to take you under his wing, so to speak?
So I think, you know, hard work, you know, willingness to try new things, and not being afraid to kind of jump into areas and solve problems maybe that you didn't know what the right solution was, because a lot of problems, I think, in life, you know, there is no right solution, so you have to just, you know, again, try to figure out what's the best solution at the time.
Michael?
With you starting so many things at such a young age, the one common theme is that you've been very assertive. How has being an only child helped you in business today?
So, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's important to, you know, move forward and be persistent. A lot of times, you know, there's barriers and roadblocks and problems, and if you get stuck by those, you can, you know, really not accomplish that much. So, for me, it's just been kind of the natural course of, you know, seeing barriers and kind of moving beyond them. It's just kind of the natural course of life.
Mm-hmm.
You have some very interesting areas of study in your academic career. If you could talk about those. And again, it's back to your being empowered to explore things and having confidence to break down barriers. If you talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So I was looking at law initially. So I had an undergraduate degree in political science. I finished that in 2 years and had some extra time. So pursued a degree in Afro-American history, which was really interesting, and then had a master's degree in telecommunications. And then all along those way, I've, you know, gotten involved in other things. I studied to become a sommelier, became a certified barista around coffee. So again, just very different kind of interests. I think each of those experiences just provides different aspects that you can use in different parts of life.
What was your biggest accomplishment growing up, and how do you use that now?
That's a great question. So I think, I look at kind of the life as a journey. So, you know, everything that I do, I think, is building on something that I've done in the past. So, you know, hopefully I haven't had kind of a big accomplishment yet. I'm hopeful that, you know, I have more accomplishments to come tomorrow. I look at everything that I do as just kind of another step in that building process.
Haley, what are you thinking? All right, Les?
All those things that you've done, and they're fairly eclectic. What's the common thread among all of them that affects how you are today?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, looking at really trying to understand precise process and methodology around how to do something, kind of understanding what the rules are, and then learning how to, you know, maybe expand on that, improve on things, and maybe take a different perspective to take an out-of-the-box approach to a problem.
Mm. That's pretty much who you are, right?
Mm-hmm. I think
really?
So.
So do you ever feel content, or always are you always kind of looking for the next thing?
Yeah, I would say I'm always kind of looking for the next thing.
Okay. So how does that relate to your happiness level if you're always looking for the next thing? How do you balance it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm happy exploring new things. So, I mean, I think as long as there's new things to discover, explore, I find I'm, you know, generally pretty happy and content.
Wait. So it's interesting. I thought you would be unhappy because you're constantly exploring, but you're telling me because you're able to explore, you are happy.
Yeah, I think I'd be miserable if I was just, you know, didn't have any opportunities to explore new things, try new things, you know, travel to new places, meet new people, meet with new customers, learn about hard problems. I would be miserable.
So you really enjoy the new.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I think if it, what I really find challenging are just new problems, new situations that I've never been in before. I think change is something that I really enjoy. If something is static, I find that very uncomfortable.
What's the website address for this organization, Fusion?
FusionPPT.com.
How do you spell that?
FusionPPT.com.
We've been speaking with Michael Biddick, CEO of Fusion PPT, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, and learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Oh, nice interview.
Nice, Michael. I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. I'd like to introduce Ted Davies, President and CEO of Altamira Technologies. Ted, what is Altamira Technologies? What are you guys doing?
We do data analytics and engineering solutions for the national intelligence community.
How large or how small is this organization?
About 350 people in a bunch of locations across the country.
And I understand that it's actually two merged companies that formed one company.
Yeah, the legacy companies are about 15 years old. Altamira was put together by a group of investors about 5 years ago.
And you were brought in to be the CEO at that point in time?
I came in 3 years ago.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
And where are you from originally?
Chappaqua, New York.
So how did being the oldest of three growing up in New York prepare you to be the CEO of this organization, which is two merged organizations?
I think the biggest influence for me was my parents.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, my dad was a son of immigrants from Europe, and he went to a university based on the GI Bill, got out and worked really hard over the years in what's called the Sugar House in Yonkers, New York, and eventually began the was the COO there and ran the place.
Yeah, so did you ever go to work with your dad when you were a kid?
Yeah, they had a college program where college kids could go work there, joined a union, worked on the floor with kids from across the company, and really enjoyed, you know, the environment.
So you joined the union and you worked on the floor.
I did.
And what did you, did anybody ever tell you about your dad? Did they know you were his son?
They did. And there were a few people that would be careful with me. But most people just treated me like one of the other kids.
So what was your father's reputation?
People really loved my dad.
Why?
They thought, and he did, really care about them. He put in a good work environment in. Sugar refinery was going to be put out of business at one point. He negotiated a sale to Domino Sugar, and part of that sale meant that he had to stay on board and oversee a $20 million renovation of the plant. He did that, and the Sugar House continued.
So what does that have to do? Does that have anything to do with your being the CEO of this organization, Altamira Technologies?
I learned from my dad that you had to sincerely, you know, build an environment where people could be successful, and you had to really care about your people, and that's really what I've tried to do.
Uh-huh. What kind of sports did you play as a kid?
I was a jack of all trades. I played pretty much whatever sport was in season. I was okay with those sports, but I didn't excel.
Uh-huh. Interesting. David?
I understand you recently won a very prestigious business award. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
The government contracting community gathers once a year and has various awards given out for different size companies and for different executives. And actually, it was last night. It was on the other night. And we won the Contractor of the Year in the $75 million to $300 million category.
And your work ethic and your father's influence and how employees felt about him, how does that help you get an award like this?
Like I said, we've built an environment that's just attracted great folks. We put in place some interesting programs, one called Altamira Cares, which is about living, doing good things in the community. Another one's called Healthy Living, which is for the employees, and people have resonated with that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, Michael.
In the green room, you spoke about playing rugby. How has that impacted your current leadership style?
I love talking about rugby as it relates to business, because I believe that rugby is the ultimate team game. For all the sports fans in the United States, you can think of your favorite sport, and there's almost always some dominant players, which can swing games. Rugby's 15 guys working together for a common goal, and so it's a very team-oriented sport. The other part of it is that it's an 80-minute game that is just very intense, and you have to be on the go and helping each other the whole time. There's no time for sitting around. There's no real breaks, and that's what the business environment is. You got to always be working hard.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
In the green room, you had mentioned that your family is very faith-based. How has that affected how you run your company now?
Yeah, I grew up with a really good foundation in Christianity, and I believe that the fundamental principles of Christianity are very well aligned with running a very ethical business.
Wait, what are you talking about there? What do you mean?
A very ethical business? I think there's... In the environment today, I guess it's probably always been here, there's a ton of pressure to make money. There's a ton of pressure to cut through people. There's a ton of pressure to bend your deals. And, my foundational faith says that you don't do that.
Well, you know something. I mean, you know, you're building, you just won the award for one of the fastest growing and evidently healthiest organizations. And I'm glad that Jen asked you that question about faith-based. Jen, what's your next question?
Would you say you're more like your dad or your mom?
I'm probably a little more like my dad in the way that that he conducted himself with just working really hard and kind of keeping his head down and not seeking the limelight. Maybe a little bit more like my mom in that she was pretty social and kind of friends with just about everybody in our town. She actually had a small, like a Hallmark kind of store, and she pretty much knew everybody in town through that store.
Haley?
You talk a lot about doing different sports and working really hard, but you never really say you were the best or you were, and you've gotten to where you are today. So how did looking at yourself as humble and also growing up feeling humble correlate with what you're doing today and how successful you are today?
When you look at really successful leaders, and there's been profiles on this, combination of humility and absolute passion for organizational success usually gets to a good outcome. So that's what I try and do.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like when everyone is successful, that makes you feel.
Yeah, there's a famous leadership quote. I don't know who said it, but I like it. It's you can accomplish anything as long as you don't care who gets the credit.
Wow. Les?
Yeah, so take me back. You said something when you were 12 years old, you started working as a custodian?
I was a custodian assistant, to be clear. I was 12. I wanted to make a little bit of money. And, I asked my parents how do I make some money. And at our church, the custodian needed some help and went up and talked to him. And he allowed me to mop the floors and every once in a while use the buffer and things like that.
And what did you learn about yourself from that you use today?
Hard work.
What do you mean?
When we do the dirty work, literally do the dirty work. Even in the organization today, our entire leadership team rolls their sleeves up and got to clean something up, we clean it up. We got to hang something, we hang something. You get stuff done.
Michael?
So you were the oldest of three.
Yes.
What did you learn at a young age that carries over to today?
I think you got to work together. My sister and brother and I were very close growing up, and we had to take care of each other. And my folks were always there, but we always watched out for each other. And if you watch out for other people, then good things happen.
Mm-hmm. David, what are you thinking?
You also received an award about a year ago. And you're, again, being very, very humble. So I like you identify that because your humility is just going to ring true.
It was the Individual Executive of the Year Award last year. And I did have the fortune to get up and say that while I was humbled by the award, I really wanted to have the award for the team. And so this year when I was able to accept the award, I just said thanks and handed it over to the team to take the credit.
Mm. Jen, what else are you thinking? What are you feeling?
It sounds like your dad was really influential, but where did you get that team aspect in your life when you were growing up? I mean, you had a very close family, but where did it come out?
It really was through sports. Whatever team, I always played team sports. I've done individual things since then, running and biking and things like that, but mostly it was through team sports and realizing that you couldn't get anything done if you operated on your own.
Mm-hmm. Haley? Liz?
Yeah, you had mentioned something about your grandparents. What'd you learn from them?
My grandparents were so proud to be Americans. You know, we have immigrants from all over the world today. Lots of discussion about it. Back in their day, in the early 1900s, it was from Europe. And they just would talk constantly about what an amazing country we live in.
Were you close with them?
Yeah, they both passed away when I was like 10, 12 years old. So it was relatively young. But that's kind of my memory from talking to them early on.
Mm-hmm. Would they be surprised by the success that you've had?
Maybe. They watched my dad be successful, and I might be a little surprised.
Really?
Back to the humility, does that translate into your employees being successful and feeling confident, and you can watch them grow because they know that you'll give them the credit and not take it for yourself?
I hope so. I mean, we've tried to build a culture that is collaborative. Everybody works together, empowering, you know, trying to push decision-making out as far as we can. And some risk-taking, you know, we allow folks to try some new things, and if it doesn't work, then we start over again. So,
is that how it was with being the oldest child with your siblings?
Oh, did I empower my younger brother and sister? That's interesting. I was probably a little more of the, hey, we got to go do this now type of an older brother.
Well, you gave him the confidence to be able to do things that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ted, what's the website address for this organization known as Altamira Technologies?
AltamiraCorp.com.
How do you spell that?
AltamiraCorp.com.
And we've been speaking with Ted Davies, President and CEO of Altamira Technologies here on Executive Leaders Radio. I'd like to thank my co-host, Les Mullen Vistage, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, Haley Morris, Cressa, Jim Wapis, Panano Carp, and Michael Del Pierre, Conversion Pipeline. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. Nice. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000,
$1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. Again, that's 800-213-9256.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Gregory Sullivan, President and CEO of Sullivan, Bruett, Spiros, and Blaney. Gregory, what is Sullivan, Bruett, Spiros, and Blaney? What are you guys doing?
We're a wealth management firm, so we have four different divisions. We have an investment division. We have a financial planning practice that does comprehensive planning. Mm-hmm. And we have a tax planning and preparation business, as well as a fiduciary business where we help large.
All right. And how large and how small is this organization?
We currently manage around $3.3 billion of assets.
How many clients do you have?
Around 1,000.
And how large or small is the team?
We have 60 people.
All right. How old is this firm?
We've been around 27 years.
And how'd you get a job with this place?
I co-founded it.
All right. About 27 years ago. Where are you from originally?
I moved around a lot when I was young, but I call Pittsburgh home.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the baby of four.
What was the benefit of growing up the youngest of four?
You learn from everybody else's mistakes.
So how has that helped you build a business?
A number of ways. One is you're always being aware. You're watching what people are doing. And
has that really helped you build the business, being aware and watching what everybody's doing?
Well, you're just more observant. So you're observant of what's going on around you and maybe how to handle situations differently.
So how's that helped you build the business? Give me an example.
There's lots of scenarios where you have to bring the team together. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get everybody to work together. You're trying to make sure everybody's on the same page.
I see. So because you were the youngest, your nature is to understand how the organization, how the family unit, or how everybody on the team is feeling.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about you got a job when you were 15. What was that job all about?
I was working at Ponderosa Steakhouse. Yeah. So I came in initially as in the kitchen. washing dishes.
Yeah.
But they were short-staffed on the line, so I quickly became the potato boy. I handled all the baked potatoes and French fries when you came down the line.
How long were you the potato guy at the Ponderosa?
I did that job for about a year and a half.
So that was a pretty terrible. You didn't like that, did you?
Oh, I loved it.
Why'd you like that? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're working with people. There's a lot of pressure going on at the time. Amazingly enough, there's pressure when you're doing baked potatoes and you have a busload of people driving in. You're 20 potatoes short.
So what's
you got to quickly figure out how to solve the problem.
Well, you could have played dumb and made somebody else take responsibility. But it sounds to me like you really expanded the scope of that job into making sure there's enough potatoes and making sure stuff's getting out on time. What's that have to do with being the CEO of this organization known as Sullivan, Bruett, Spiros, and Blaney, which has, did you say $3 billion under management?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you were the potato boy at the age of 15. What's the similarity there? What'd you take from that you use every day now?
Well, that's responsibility. So you have to be, interestingly enough, you have to plan it out. There's a lot of planning that goes on when you have an uncertain group of people coming through your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have a manager who's kind of on your back, making mm-hmm. sure you're doing the job right.
Mm-hmm. Your customers, in this case, making sure everybody's happy. Mark?
What activity did you really enjoy, gave you the most satisfaction growing up, and how does that feeling play out now in your activities at business?
Yeah, I was probably the best activity was I was a wrestler, so I started wrestling when I was at age 11. My brother was a wrestler, so he kind of beat me up when we were growing up, so he kind of pulled me along into that sport.
Mm-hmm.
I think you learn a lot. You learn leadership. You learn how to stand on your own two feet. When you're on a mat, you're on your own, but when you come off the mat, you're a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at both the team aspect of it as well as the individual mm-hmm. side.
Liz?
Yeah, so just to follow up, what has that got to do with running a business?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, you have your role, your responsibility, and, you have to get the job done. But at the same time, it's a team activity. Everyone has a role, but how do you lead with the team? And who leads the team to make sure everybody's got the same focus and vision?
Rob?
You said earlier that you learned from your brothers and sisters seeing them fight with your parents, yet everybody still came out as family with trust. How do you relate that to working with your partners?
Yeah, well, I mean, a family issue, there's always disagreement. There's always different issues that come about. Interestingly enough, as the youngest, I tend to be more the counselor, bringing people together and solving it. And the same thing goes on in an office, right? There's a lot of issues, a lot of difference of opinions. People can argue, but someone needs to bring the group together to make sure it's cohesive and focused on what we're about to accomplish.
As the youngest, did you ever feel like you had to settle then if you were trying to bring people together, or do you feel like you still push to get your way then?
Oh, still push to get my way. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the individual side of it. You get it, but at the same time, you're having to listen to everybody else's ideas mm-hmm. so that you know what you're trying to accomplish, which might be just harmony.
Mm-hmm.
But
Vince?
Yeah, how did those experiences growing up make you good at driving a strategy and vision for a company? I mean, incredible success as you've grown as a company. So what made you successful?
I think it was a lot. You bring people together. You realize people are the center. They're the soul of the business. Just like on the team, all the individual wrestlers were the soul of the business. In a family, everyone's individual.
Wait. We're talking about a business that's a financially related firm. You're talking about the soul and the soul of a business. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so just like in a family, the soul of the family is the people. How do they come together? The soul of the business is the people. How do you come together? There's lots of different personalities, a lot of different ideas. You have to bring them together. Same thing with clients. Clients come in with a lot of different ideas and different objectives. They become the soul to that aspect of it. And how do you make sure that we're accomplishing what they
want
to accomplish?
I'm just fascinated. I mean, evidently you know what you're talking about because you're running a business that has $3.3 billion under management. So you certainly know what you're talking about. I'm just surprised that this business that's managing money talks about the soul and you're talking about people are the middle of everything. Am I reading that correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, it's about the people. And it's about helping them to see the vision that what they can accomplish and where they can go in there.
their life.
And this is both the clients as well as your team. What's the website address of this organization?
I'm sorry, say it again.
The website address of the organization?
Website is sbsbllc.com.
Let me have that one more time.
It's samboyllc.com.
We've been speaking with Gregory Sullivan, President and CEO, Sullivan Brouette, Spiros, and Blaney here on Executive Leaders Radio. Les, can you give us a rundown of who else we've had an opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. Mike Black, COO, JMA Solutions. We had Ken Fang, President, Mo Bomo. We had Stephen Robbins, Principal at Lurch Early Brewer, and Greg Sullivan, President and CEO, Sullivan, Brouette, Spiros, and Blaney.
I would like to thank my co-host, Les Molin Vistage, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mike Ross, now Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Mark Haas, AEG, Rob Longman, Longman and Van Grack, and Vince Chrysler, Dark Cubed, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. He'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. Yeah, we did that.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.